Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll begin to look at some of the verses of Quran chapter 14, which is named the Book of Abraham. First of all, I'd like to share with you that this chapter is a Mecca chapter. That means it was written in the early days, as Muslims claim, when Muhammad declared himself to be a prophet in the city of Mecca. Except the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain told us verses 28 and 29 are Medini verses, meaning that Muhammad added these two verses in the city of Medina, which means within the last 8 or 9 years of Muhammad's life. And then Al-Jalalain added another astonishing information, which is the number of the verses of that chapter is 52 verses, or 54 verses, or 55 verses. Well, when I look at the Quran, which I am using, the Hafs Quran, the one we grew up in Egypt, and Muslims there believe that it is the perfect word of Allah, we realize that there's only 52 verses. So if there are 54 or 55, that means we're missing 3 verses. That is verses 53, 54, and 55. And somehow Muslims cannot see that there is anything wrong with the Quran, as if the entire verses of the Quran are there and we're not missing any verses. I do not know who should I believe, the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain or the Muslims who live today in the world, who most of them have never even studied or read the verses of the Quran. But today I would like to talk to you about the amazing unity among the prophets and the people whom they were sent to. What do I mean by the amazing unity among the prophets? All the prophets whom Allah sent to the people of the earth before Moses, according to the teaching of Moses, have come with the same message, the same words, the same warning. And amazingly, the people whom these prophets were sent to have also have an amazing response, because it is the same response. So in simple words, I can share with you one of the stories of the prophets who came before Moses to whatever people he was sent to, and I will just copy and paste computer language, that is Control C. You copy the story and then you move to a new page, and Control V, and that is paste the story. Except all what I'm going to do is change the name of the prophet and the name of his people. In simple words, my conclusion is that the Quran is not a true account of true prophets who came to true people before Moses or even after Moses, because there is no way under the blue sky you can tell me when Noah was talking to his people, and when Abraham was talking to his people, and when Shaib was talking to his people, and when Medin was talking to his people, as we have shared before, they all came with the same message, the same book, the same words of Allah. And there is no way under the blue sky, even if this is true, that all the prophets who came to this world came with one message. And to make it simple, it is the message of Islam. As Muhammad and Muslims claim that all the prophets who came before Muhammad were Muslims. Okay, but don't you think it is a little bit weird or illogical that the people did not respond in any different ways at all? They all have the same answer. But here in Quran chapter 14, what is so amazing that it was actually reported not by Usama Dakdok, but by Moses' mouth, as Allah told him to tell the Hebrew people the truth which I have shared with you few months ago. So now let us look at what Moses told his people and what Moses told his people about the previous prophets and the message of the previous prophets to their own people and the response of the old people to their previous prophets, as it is written in Quran chapter 14. So let us begin by looking at that which is written in Quran chapter 14 and verse 6. And that is when Moses told his people the following. And when Moses said to his people, remember the grace of Allah on you when he delivered you from the family of Pharaoh. I have a problem with the family of Pharaoh because it was not just the children and the grandchildren and maybe the parents or maybe the grandparents of Pharaoh who were in charge of the Hebrews in Egypt. But he should be saying the Egyptians, the entire country of Egypt, not just Ala Pharaoh, but the entire people of Egypt. Let's continue. Laying on you an evil torment and slaughtering your sons and sparing your women. Actually, what we read here is similar to that which is written in the Bible. But did he slaughter the sons and spare the women, or slaughter the sons and spare the little baby girls? Why Muhammad put the word woman? He did not say slaughter your men and save your women. No, he slaughters the boys, the little boys at birth, and he spared the little girls at birth. Continue with the reading of Quran chapter 14 verse 6. And in this was a great trial from your Lord. Continue in verse 7. And when your Lord announced, if you give thanks, I will surely increase you more. But if you become infidels, surely my torment is severe. I'm sorry. I did not read that verse anywhere in the writing of Moses in the first five books of the Bible. So here we go. A fabricated verse by Muhammad about Moses in the Quran. Notice in verse 8 we read, and Moses said, if you and all who are on the earth be infidels, so surely Allah is rich, praised. Which means what? Allah does not care about any of the Jewish people to believe in him or not, or any of the people of the earth to believe in him or not. Allah does not need the worship of the people or the belief of the people in Allah. But that's not the message of the Bible. I believe the God of the Bible stated that his pleasure is in the sons of Adam. He wants to have a relationship with us. He created us that we may worship him forever and ever. And the God of the Bible does not want one soul to be separated from him, to spend the eternity in hell. That's why the God of the Bible so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the difference between the God of the Bible and the God of Moses in the Quran. Continuing in verse 9. Have you not received the news of those who were before you? Oh, now we're getting warm to actually the message which I would like to share with you in our podcast for today. Moses is going to share with the Hebrews about the people who were on that earth before Moses and his people. What about these people, Prophet Moses? He said, the people of Noah and Ad and Samud. Oh, here we go. So Muhammad big pros three people groups. The first one is the people of Noah, and we know about them very well from the Bible. How about the people of Ad and the people of Samud? Oh, these are the created stories by Muhammad in the Quran, because we never read in the Bible about the people of Ad or the people of Samud. We never read about the prophet of Ad or the prophet of Samud. Muhammad continues in verse 9 to say, and of those who are after them. Oh, it's not just the people of Noah and the people of Ad and the people of Samud. There's other people who came after them. Why Muhammad did not give us their names? It's very simple. Because he will be afraid if he mentioned two or three more groups after those people, maybe he will be missing one or two other groups. Since Muhammad does not know the total of the people who lived in this world before Moses, he just mentioned Noah and two other stories which he invented in his Quran, and add to that, well, you know, the other people who came after them. All right, what about all these people? No one knows them but Allah. Are you kidding me? You mean there are people no one knows but Allah? Why do we know about Noah? Why do we know about all the other biblical accounts, information which we have in our Bible? I tell you why, because obviously these people do not exist. Maybe in the imagination of Muhammad. And if someone will come to Muhammad later and say, oh, wait a minute, oh, Prophet of Allah, you forgot to mention about those people and those people. Oh, I told you the other people whom Allah knows. And Allah does not want us to know. But you know what? Maybe if you give me their name, I will check with Angel Jibreel next time when I meet with him. And maybe I will give you some more information about the other people whom you are asking about.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Their messengers. Which one? All the people we mentioned before. Once again, which one? Oh, the people of Noah and the people of Ad and the people of Samud and the other people, which only Allah knows who they were. So let's continue. Their messengers came to them with proofs. What was the proofs? Well, the proofs which the messengers have shown them. Like what? Well, like only Allah knows. Good. I'm getting in it. So what happened after that? So they returned their hands in their mouths and said, excuse me, what? They returned their hand in their mouths? You mean they put their hand inside their mouths? Something like that. All right, let's move on. So they returned their hands in their mouths and said, whoa. How can you gonna speak when you have your hand inside your mouth? I don't understand why Muhammad made that sentence in the Quran. It would be much better, logical, if they put their finger in their ears, as he mentioned in Quran chapter 2 and verse 19, but not to put their hand in their mouth, because if they put their hand in their mouth, how in the world they can talk? And if they talk, how can you even understand what they're saying? They returned their hands in their mouth and said, surely we become infidels by what you have been sent with. All of them? Yeah, all the people? Sure, all the people. The people of Noah? Yeah. The people of Ad? Yeah. The people of Samud? Yeah. The other people who do not know who they were? Yeah. All they said what? The same sentence. All of them put their hands in their mouths. And all of them said, surely we become infidels by what you have been sent with. And surely we are in disturbing doubt of what you call us. I'm amazed how in the world people can come up with the perfect, exact, same answer for the question of the prophets. The prophet came with a message, and all these people who never met with each other, who never talked to each other, some of them would not know who they were, except Allah knows who they were. All of them said the same thing. Once again, they said, surely we become infidels by what you have been sent with, and surely we are in disturbing doubt of what you call us. That is really amazing. Now let's continue. What do you think the messenger did when they heard the response of their people to be that cold, that rude, that disrespectful? We continue in verse 10. Their messenger said, is there doubt about Allah, the creator of the heavens and of the earth? Notice here, these are different messengers. The messenger of the people of Noah, that is Mr. Noah himself, the messenger of the people of Ad, that is Prophet Hud, and the messenger of the people of Samud, that is Prophet Saleh. All these messengers spoke the same sentence. No kidding. All of them said the same words which we have read. Is there doubt about Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Continuing, he calls you to forgive you some of your sins and delays you until an appointed time. You mean Allah will not forgive all their sins? He will just forgive some of their sins? What Allah will do with the rest of their sins? You see, I don't think neither Muhammad, Jibreel, or Allah, as a matter of fact, in the Quran, understand the concept of sin. It is not that Allah will punish them for all the sins, but he will punish them for some. So he will forgive them for some. When the Bible is very clear, the wages of sin, that is S-I-N, not S-I-N-S, singular sin, is death. So if Allah will forgive some of these people's sins, guess where they're going to spend the eternity? They're going to spend the eternity in hell. Why? Because of the rest of the sins which Allah choose not to forgive them. But that's not how Muhammad or Muslims can understand about the true nature of sin and the judgment of God to sin. Continuing to the answer of all those people who heard the same message of all these messengers or prophets, as we read, they said that you are but humans like us, and you desire to prevent us from what our fathers were serving. Imagine with me, every one of the messengers had the same goal, which is to lead these people, to lead the gods they were worshiping. And all those people, even though they were in different generation, different places, they all know the right word to say, which is a perfect word. Yes, indeed. You just want to take us away from those whom our fathers have served in the past. And then they all say in unity. These are the people of Noah, the people of Ad, the people of Samud, and the other people which Muhammad and us do not know who these people were. As he said, so bring to us with a manifest authority. What is that? Show us a miracle. Well, guess what? All the prophets we read about in the Quran performed some miracles, but Muhammad did not. Even though he thought that miracles will not benefit anybody. Imagine with me, have Muhammad performed one miracle, all the Arabs would have been united in believing in him and worshiping Allah. But continuing with verse 11, their messenger said to them, imagine with me once again, all these messengers said the same sentence back to the people. Surely we are but humans like you, but Allah gives favors on whom he wills of his servants, and it was not of us to bring you an authority except by Allah's permission, and on Allah, so let the believers depend. Wow. You mean not one of these prophets or messengers give a different answer? Maybe one more word or one less word than that which we have read in verse 11? No. They all said the same thing. It's like they are robots. The people were robots, and the messenger were robots, and everybody have to say exactly what Allah said in the Quran. After all, don't forget that Allah wrote that Quran 50,000 years before he created anything, before he sent the messengers, and before these people came to existence. Therefore, whatever Allah wrote in the book, that is exactly what people would say, and that's exactly what messenger would say. Continuing in verse 12, and it was not for us except to depend on Allah. And indeed, he guided us in our ways, and we will surely be patient with the harms you put on us and on Allah. So let the depender depend. Continuing in verse 13, Muhammad wrote, and those who became infidels said to their messenger, we will surely get you out of our land, or you will come back to our religion. So their Lord revealed to them, we will surely destroy the unjust, and surely we will cause you to dwell in the land after them. This is for him who fears my standing and fears my threat. But they sought in vision, and every powerful stubborn was disappointed. Notice here in verse 16, Allah changed a pronoun. It is no longer Allah speaking about bunch of people, but about one person. And that one person is actually a male. That is when we read, hell will be behind him, and he will be made to drink from pus water. That is a little bit disgusting, but that's okay. He will drink it sip by sip, and he can barely swallow it. And death will come to him from every place, but he will not die. And behind him, a thick, he meant great, torment. In verse 18, we read, the parable of those who became infidels in their Lord, their work are like ashes, which the wind scatters on a stormy day. Continuing with the verse of 18, they cannot have anything from what they earned. This is the faraway error. So now we move from singular to plural, and we have no idea what the Quran is talking about. But here is the point of that study of today. Muhammad made up so many stories, and he did not have enough words to create a scenario different from one prophet to another. So he just made up one story, and he repeats the story, as we have seen in the past, word for word, concerning other prophets and other people. And here in Quran chapter 14, he gathered all the stories, and he's assuring us prophets came with the same message. People heard and answered the message, same answer. And then we went to the punishment of one man, and then he's talking about a group of people, and their parable is that they did not benefit from anything they have done in this world. Can this be truly the word of God? Obviously, the answer is absolutely not. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.